Proverbs chapter 6, and this is wonderful. My favorite book in the Bible is Proverbs, and you ought to read it at least once a month, probably twice, on top of everything else you're reading. Young people ought to read it so much that it'll become natural to you, and it'll come to your heart and mind. But it's good stuff. Proverbs chapter 6, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20, it says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee." It says, "And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee." That's the Bible. He says in verse 23, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." And of course, two places in the very next verse says, "to keep thee." And God deals with the flattery of an evil woman. And then he goes on to say, "to keep thee." Later on, it's down in, he mentions, anyhow, that's not what I'm preaching about, but I'll leave that alone. But so here this morning, God, the lamp, what I'm going to preach to you about, and I've got one burning there, it's just an illustration, if you will. He says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother." And I'm reading it again there, "bind them." And he says, "it'll lead, it'll keep, it'll talk. For the commandment," in verse 23, "is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs and instruction of the way of life." And of course, I mentioned to you about, God knows the devil hates our homes. He hates the family. And all over this world, the traditional, I call it the biblical family that God started in Genesis. Go ahead and turn there if you would, please. Genesis chapter 2. God designed this thing. It was by design, by our maker, our creator, according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. And he's the creator of the universe. And God, when he made a man and a woman and he put them in the garden to dress and keep it, God started a process. Of course, we know what happened. They blew it over there in chapter 3. And so in chapter 2, verse 7, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and I just want to come preach to you about the home for just a little bit, and I hope it's a blessing and a help. Genesis chapter 2, because so goes the home, so goes the church. So goes the home, so goes the country. And there's no doubt, I probably put 80% of our trouble in America, I blame it on pulpits in this country. And I can pick on it. I is one, but I think the preachers have gone cold in our country years now, for years. And we've gotten so messed up now, and they won't say nothing. They won't preach against anything. They'll never put the airplane on the strip. They'll never get Pacific. We just think that everybody understands what's going on, and they don't. I mean, I can remember for years at the boys' home, we'd get new youngins, and they're teenagers in America, not a third world nation, America. They didn't know what a 16-penny nail was. They didn't know how to drive a nail. They didn't know how to properly clean things. Most of them couldn't read. I could go on and on. Teenagers from 12 to 18. Because in the state of Florida, you can keep your youngin' around until they're 19. They're bound to their parents by law until they're 19. And some of them need to be longer than that. Amen. But I mean, listen, God knows what he's doing. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. So the home is where it's at. Amen. And I want to give you, by way of introduction, the position of a man. The King James Bible plainly tells you, men this morning, your position on planet Earth. Amen. Chapter 2, verse number 7. The Bible says, and this is elementary, but I'm going somewhere. Just stay with me, please. Chapter 2, verse 7. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." See, what's that? God made man. We say, well, we know that. I know we do. But stay, okay, so God made a man. Look at chapter 2, verse 21. Chapter 2, verse 21, the Bible says, "And the Lord God called a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept and took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man." You say, what's that? God made a woman and brought her to the man. You say, I know that. Well, this country of ours, the devil, is fast erasing the basic principles. He's putting doubt in these young people across our country, trying to get us away from what an actual home is. Amen. And it starts with a man. And God made man. And he made a woman and brought her unto the man. In chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, it tells us this is after the fall. And I know the women's rights group hates this stuff. You know, these women libbers and all that junk, that trash. Amen. And I mean to tell you, they've destroyed womanhood trying to. Ain't got to be that way in your home, though. Amen. Like I told these boys, God made you women on purpose the way you are for a reason. Amen. You're a help meet. That means fit for a man. A perfect match. That's how God designed it. I still believe that. One woman, one man for a lifetime. Still in this book, amen. And so anyhow, folks don't believe none of that stuff anymore. And now they just shack up because they get better benefits and stuff. Well, I won't get into all that. I could go all day about that stuff. But he says, chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says this. Chapter 3, verse 16, he says, unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That's not a bad thing. That's a God thing. And if you want to have any kind of home at all, ma'am, you got to, if you're in love with God like you're supposed to be, and he's a snake, it says in Corinthians chapter 7, you can win him with a conversation. Your conversation, not just your speech, your life, how you're living for God. But anyhow, so God said the man should rule over the woman, not the woman over the man. That's not in this Bible. And when you find that in Isaiah chapter 3, the women and children shall rule over them. Chapter 3, verse 12, exactly. God said, well, I'll tell you, open my big fat mouth. Let's look at it real quick. Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3, you got to stay, keep yourself between the lines how God built this thing. He built it this way for a reason. It works. It's right. Isaiah chapter 3, look at verse 12. Here's what God said to the nation of Israel. The only time that I know of, he said it like this right here. Isaiah chapter 3 and verse, just pin in America right here. And I hate to say it, it's getting into our churches all over the country. Isaiah chapter 3, and listen, you all understand me. I'm talking about broken homes. Things happen. It's understood this morning. I'm preaching to you the perfect will of God for your home. I got family members that their husbands left them. I get it. They got to do what they got to do to serve the Lord and try to get back where they're supposed to be as quick as they can. I'm not trying to be ugly to nobody. I get that. We have to reap what we sow. Welcome to the club. I'm reaping all kinds of things to this day that I sowed before I got saved. You understand that? Some of this stuff's going to follow me to the grave. But you church kids that are sitting in here, bless God, you've been raised with a King James Bible, born at the hospital, whether it be Green County or Salt or wherever, and you've been given everything at your disposal to love God, live God, and stay right with God. You got no excuse. You can follow this book like it says. Amen. Not have to apologize to nobody. And like I said, we're first generation Christians, me and my wife. Now I've got second generation. The third was just born. Hopefully he'll get saved by the grace of God and do something for God. And outdo me by leaps and bounds. I want all my kids to outrun me in this race. That doesn't offend me. That's what I want for them. I don't want them having a life like I had. Amen. I was telling one of the brothers, I painted the tower here. Back when I was chasing that woman, she was 14 and I was 17. That's jailbait in this county. Is that not right in the state of Indiana? See what I'm talking about? And I climbed that tower, me and Chad Severe. Y'all know who I'm talking about? I know where he's at. We climbed that tower and painted that thing. Don't tell them. I hope there's a statute of limitations is gone. I'm going to get a charge for that. Amen. Because they never caught me. I just told them myself. But anyhow, I don't care. Who cares? Anyhow, chapter 3, verse 16. And we read that. Okay, so now look at Ephesians chapter 5. Y'all know this. God made the man the head of the home. Chapter 3, verse, or Genesis, Ephesians chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 23. And the Bible says this. Again, you know this stuff. I know this is elementary, but this is just a simple introduction real quick here. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, and the word of God says this, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. So God made a man the head of the home. Okay? Simple principles, doctrinal truths that God put in motion for the man when he made him from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, a man became a living soul. And then along comes his wife. God brought that woman. She was, it says she was meat. She was a help meat. She was fit for that man. Exactly what God wanted. And so you say, why did I tell that woman? You know, you don't got to turn over to Esther chapter 1. I ain't got the time this morning. But Esther chapter 1 verses 15 to 22, you've read your Bibles. You know it says in verse 15, the phrase shows up, what shall we do? What are they talking about? Well, you know what Esther did. And I'm not going to debate you about him sporting his wife. I don't agree with that stuff. But that king said to bring forth Vashti the queen. Not Esther. She replaced Vashti. But because he wanted to show her off. Because she was fair to look upon. Y'all know what happens over there. That's a heathen king. And that stuff's all going on. And look what God said in verse 7 or verse 15 of chapter 1. He says, what shall we do in reference to what happened? She wouldn't come. And it says in verse 17, the deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes. It says in verse 18, thus shall arise much contempt. Whoa. Okay, anyhow. I'm rough on stuff. I don't hit this pulpit, though. This thing's rock solid, man. Maybe break your hand on this thing. But anyhow, and I'm getting too old for that. I have to carry Gorilla Tape around now to keep things together. But so you know what's going on there. And then in verse 20, well, Isaiah, look at Isaiah chapter 6 quickly. So what's going on there? God, that man, his position of authority, that king, that monarch, was they knew it was going to cause much dissension. Right or wrong with what he was doing, the motive. I don't care about all that. God said it was going to cause some issues. Y'all listening? And I'm telling you, I can't say it enough. You ladies that are married by the grace of God, you've got to stay in submission to the Lord, which will automatically make you stay in submission to that man God gave you. You women got power beyond belief. You're in a position you can cause much damage. Says it in Ecclesiastes, you couldn't find one woman among 1,000. Read it over there what that man said. And I'm telling you, ladies are worth a... Listen. You getting put in a home, you're not a second-class citizen because God called you to run a home. It's up here. We just listen to the TV, the lost kinfolk, the heretics, the books that's been written, the programs, the computers. The Satan's making everybody feel like they're an idiot because the women stay at home. And I know people have to work their situations, but these young ladies here don't got to do nothing but love daddy, love Jesus Christ, and love a man God gives them. Is that not what we're training them for? Telling you, God wanted that woman to be a home to teach those youngins and to stand underneath that man. He says he maketh the barren woman to keep house. Psalms 113, verse 9. It says he maketh the barren woman to keep house. Woman don't need to have kids if she don't know how to keep a house. You know what keeping a house is? It's not just cleaning it. It's taking care of that man. Cooking for that man, treating that man. You listening to me? That's what God called you ladies to do. Ain't nothing wrong with that. We've been listening to the sirens of hell screaming at us to go out and do this and chase that and run here and run there. I know Christian ladies that squeal tires and run more than women that work 40 hours a week. And we'll pick on the women that work outside the home. And bless God, the women won't stay at home and don't work. That's America. See, it's getting quiet. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just telling you, if you want a home that honors God, you better stay in your lane. You better say no to that flesh. And then listen, you got something going on, fix it. Do the best you can. But when you can, fix it and stay right with God. You want to raise a Daniel? I'll tell you how you do it. By the dictates of that book. We can't just take over, do what we want, expect God to bless our home. It don't work that way. It's got to be His way or the highway. And I know, I get it. I know it. In America, they hate our homes. Think it's stupid. The oxymoron outfit. I'm telling you, ladies, I got onto it a little bit in Sunday school, but in Isaiah chapter 6, I'll tell you how important this thing is about the proper position. We're talking about the position of a man. And look, in Isaiah 6, it says, till men be removed. Chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. It's such a big, all through this King James Bible, when God judged Israel, one of the first things he says, he's going to take man out of the way. Because when he does, it's over. Because technically, the women are the weaker vessel. They follow. They're natural born followers. they have to be taught otherwise. Just like you're a natural born man or female, you got to be taught to be a lesbian or a sodomite. You're a faggot. You got to be reprogrammed. That's against the natural use in Romans 1. Just crazy stuff, man. Isaiah, I never thought we'd have to preach this stuff. Boy, God help y'all to keep guard this place. Don't let them in. Don't put up with it, man. You do it, you're going to have problems. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 11 tells us, he says, "Then said I, Lord, how long?" And he answered, "Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, until the houses without man." There you go. It says it again in verse 12, "And the Lord have removed men far away." And guess what happens then? "And there's a great forsaking in the midst of the land." You take that man's authority and how God designed it. We just read it, Genesis 2. Made a man, God made him, brought him to the woman, or brought the woman to the man. The man was to rule over the woman. It says then God commands him to love her in Ephesians, and he's the head of the home. God has to command us to love that woman because we don't do it naturally. We're selfish. He doesn't have to tell that woman to love that man. She'll do it. I'm talking about the position of a man. You know what the word effeminate means? See, the devil must remove men from out of their position. Then he tries to turn them into a woman. You say, "You're crazy." No, what's going on? You know what the effeminate means? Having or showing characteristics regarded as typical of a woman. Unmanly. And it says, comma, to unman. 1820 says to unman. Don't make him a man anymore. You know, make him soft. We got dads now that stay home. What is that? The dad stays home and the wife goes and works? Are you kidding me? God, help us in the morning. What are we doing? It's insanity. God's not going to bless it. You know what we got? We got the man, they're taking the second place role, which begins to turn him soft, sissified, and effeminate. Instead of ruddy like Jesus Christ, a man's man. Ain't nothing wrong being a man. What's wrong with us? Stand up, be a man! I mean, those women want a man to follow. They want a man that'll protect them and follow them, and they can follow them. Amen. What about the placement of a woman? Look back at Genesis chapter 2. You don't got it for the sake of time. God made the woman from the man. We know that in Genesis 2, verse 21 and 22. We know that God brought her to the man in Genesis 2, 22. We know that God said he told her that her desire would be to her husband, and he would rule over her in Genesis 3, 16. God placed her in the home in Psalm 113, verse 9. I gave you that verse. He maketh the barren woman to keep house, to be the joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. So keeping a home comes before having kids. If you can't keep a house, you ought not have kids. What that book's teaching right there. I mean, you're going to add kids to it. The whole outfit changes for the rest of your life. You sure don't want to have young ones. I personally preach. I ain't got no verses for it. Me and her tried to do 2 years between the young ones. We was married almost 3. So we could get to know each other, get things solidified. I was brand new Christians. We didn't know apples from oranges. We don't know much more than that today. But I'm just saying, we tried. I don't even know the ages of my kids, and I lived there for how many years? Been married 30 years. Oh, well, I know they're there. Amen. But other than that, whatever. I mean, it's crazy. And we're at the place in our life now where they're all like my oldest son. He works, you know, at a business that we've got. He works there, and he's running wide open. And my second oldest son, Mark, works with me in the ministry. He's called to be preaching this morning. And, of course, he's married, got a young'un. And then the rest of them, one of my sons works for the sheriff's department. He just started. And he's working at nighttime in the middle of the night. And they're going to and fro. And we're not used to that yet. We're used to having them all right there. Well, they're grown. We trained them. I want them to love God and do something for God. And so it's something. It's harder now than it was when we were spanking them. I'd go back to the days of training up a child in the way that he should go when he was old and not depart from it. I'd take it tomorrow without even praying about it. I used to preach, this thing won't work. It's too hard to be consistent and correct and correct. No, that's easy. When they become young men and young ladies, but yet they're not married, but yet they have to honor mom and dad, and they're still under my set of rules, but yet they're trying to spread their wings and be men and make decisions and sometimes have to fall flat on their face while I'm watching to teach them a lesson. It's a whole lot tougher to do that and keep them between the lines, especially if they're going to start courting. God help you, sure want to marry right. My goodness, that's the second most important thing you'll do as a Christian is who you marry. You better wait on God or you're going to have a mess. the rest of your life. So the woman, he placed her in the home. And look at Titus 2:5, and then I'm going to give you the gist of my message. Titus chapter 2, verse 5. Talking about the lamp this morning. Titus chapter 2 and verse 5. Familiar scripture. And it says here in chapter 2, verse 1 says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Then he tells the men how to behave themselves. And he shifts gears and tells the women in verse 5 to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Why? That the word of God be not blasphemed. You reckon there's a little bit of blaspheming going on in this country? I promise you there is. Amongst our ranks, it's going on. It's going on all over this country amongst the independent Bible-believing churches. I'm telling y'all, you travel, Brother Jerry always sees it in living color. I got a preacher friend of mine that just buried his wife. They were married 52 years, Mom, 55 years. And they were out preaching and he got hit on I-10. They were stopped because of another accident. And a guy had a heart attack in a moving truck, 30-foot moving truck doing 65 mile an hour. He ran into the back of my preacher friend. He's like a dad to me in the ministry, Brother Kenneth McFadden. He pastored for 40 years out in Arkansas. And he hit him. They didn't even know it. Hit him in the rear end, knocked him multiple. Their car went from 0 to 45 mile an hour. That's how hard they got hit. It killed his wife instantly. Didn't do anything to her. The shock of the hit, like when a bomb goes off, killed her on the spot. And he came, he was covered in bruises. There wasn't a spot on his body didn't have a bruise. And his seat broke away from the van. And I don't know how he lived. The van was destroyed. And it was just God. He's not done with him. And that man looked over and his wife didn't have a bruise, didn't have a scratch, didn't have nothing. She was sitting there, her hair wasn't out of place, sitting there in the seat with her seatbelt on her head, laid over like this, gone, graduated. 55 years married. And that man, God gave him a verse when he was in the back of the ambulance on the spot. And about the verse over there in Ezekiel chapter 24, verse 18, I think it is. It says that God told Ezekiel, and in the morning, he tells him to do something. And in the evening, my wife died. It's in the verse. And I did as the Lord commanded me the next morning. He said the Lord gave it to him right in the ambulance. His wife just graduated. You talk about a testimony, buddy. He's something else. Anyhow, I don't know how I got on that. Talking about the family. He told me the last thing he said to her was they had just hit each other on the leg and said, Mama, I love you. Yeah, I love you too, honey. He said, you men ought to tell your wife you love them 10 times a day. That's what he preaches. Minimum of 10 times a day. Y'all listening? See, I'm guilty of that. He said, you never know when God's going to say, we're done. Come on home. Yeah, that's good stuff. Okay, God's way in the home. We read in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 through 23. It says, my son, keep thy father's commandment, forsake not the law of thy mother. See, what's the father's commandment? Well, the father's, that daddy's that lamp. Said it right there in Proverbs. Look at Proverbs chapter 6. Go back there to chapter 6, verse 20. We're talking about the lamp this morning. The lamp found in Proverbs chapter 6. And God likens it unto a man, a husband, and a wife. That dad's the commandment. That mama's got a law. And she produces that light. And that oil is a type of the Holy Ghost of God. It's in both the man and the woman. If they're born again, raised in a Christian home, that's the oil is what keeps the thing running, the motor smooth. That's God himself, God the Holy Ghost. Look at Proverbs chapter 6. And these new Bibles, the pages stick. Should have brought my old one, but Proverbs chapter 6, and at verse 20 said, he said there, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. And look at chapter 6, verse 23. Here it is. For the commandment is a lamp. So that commandment, daddy's that commandment. He's the lamp. Look what else it says there. It says, and the law is light. That flame that's burning, that's a picture of mom. You know, they twain shall be one flesh. You're married in the sight of God. You become one with the Lord Jesus Christ. You start a home, have some youngins, try to train them up in the way that they should go. God said you're likened unto a lamp. And daddy's got a commandment. Mama's got a law. She's that light. And guess what it says right there in verse 23? and the reproofs of instruction are a way of life, young people. It's a way of life to get reproved by a mom and dad. That's one of the basic building blocks of a home that's missing today. No real biblical reproof. Sometimes it's just a scolding. The book teaches that in Proverbs. But sometimes you've been taught and trained, you know your area of operation. You break the law, mom's law, dad's law, which is really God's law, then you're going to have to meet your maker. You're going to get whooped. Amen. Get spanked. I don't care what the government says. I don't care what Shackamack says down there at the schoolhouse. I could give a rip what they think's right and wrong with the schoolhouse. Amen. That Bible says you're to tramp a child the way he should go when he's old enough not to depart from it. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. What that Bible says. That God would like to speak to us in a small, still voice, not like me screaming and carrying on. But see, a lot of times, that's why you, when God gives a man and a woman a family and they start having youngins, they're tender. They're in a clean environment. It's understood that you're raising them clean. And so God can speak to them at a young age, 4, 5, and 6, and get saved. Why? Because you're correcting them. You start teaching them and training them when they're itty-bitty. And it teaches them to submit and obey to authority. So that when God, the authority, comes along and whispers and says, hey boy, hey young lady, you need to get born again. And they'll turn their heart pliable. And they'll turn to the Lord and get born again at a young age. Not at 21 like a fool like me, who's hardened. Still got issues I'll deal with the rest of my life because I wasn't raised in a Christian home. Okay? So God knows what he's talking about on the road to salvation for a young person that's got saved moms and dads that are trying to do right. On that road is that rod of correction. It's one of the stop signs to keep you from going your own way that you might run to God and get saved. And speak to you in a still small voice. Won't have to holler at you like he has to me because I'm tone deaf. Tone deaf from being obstinate and hard-hearted towards God's book because I think I'm smarter than God because of the how I did things for years before I met God. This stupid philosophy in America. Humanism. It's ungodly. It's all in the schools. Bless God, when I was here, I want an apology from Mr. Enix then. That man whipped the stew out of me 5 times my senior year right here at Shackamack. I got whipped 5 times. I was already in the military, delayed in entry. I'm going to Terre Haute on Saturdays. I'm already enlisted at 17. I'm getting spanked by Mr. Enix, because I'm a rebel. I got spanked by Mr. Borders. He beat the stew out of me at Shackamack, amen. My physics teacher. Y'all listening to me? So if it's not okay today, I want an apology. The world's wrong with this country, man. They're making them twofold a child of hell. I couldn't teach school for a week. I'd say, y'all line up. We're beating everybody before we even start class. Amen. I'm telling you, it worked for me, 1988, 84, 85, 86, 87. And then they called Bob Borders. Every time Mr. Enix called my stepfather, because he knew when he called him, I'm going to get double jeopardy. And I promise you, I did every time. The people that say double jeopardy don't work, you're wrong. It does work. Give them triple till they repent and turn from their wicked ways. Telling you, you better do it. You better do it while they're little. Me and that woman started teaching ours. They were little, man. Mark's baby's how old? 4 months. He's already teaching him. You say you can't do it. Yes, you can. See, he's starting. Well, I didn't start till they were 4 and 5. Didn't know no better. We weren't saved when we first started. We was trying to catch up. Well, I'm telling you what. You kids that's been trained in the ways of the Lord, you can start young and teach that little baby how to. My wife never stayed up to nurse babies. Go and get quiet right here. She nursed all 7 of them. This is just us. You do it how you want. We didn't use pacifiers. We didn't use bottles. We kept it simple. The military has an acronym, KISS, keep it stupid simple. It works. You're going to get killed if you don't keep it simple. And she taught them within 2 to 3 weeks. She went to bed about 11, up 6:37. She got sleep. Them monsters didn't keep her up all night. Because you think they're going to die. They're already overweight when they're born. I mean, look, like a chipmunk. Got cheeks that weigh 2 pounds apiece. He's probably eating too much. Anyhow, she taught them, hey, they're dry, they're clean, they've been fed, they're not sick, colic. It's okay, let them cry a little bit, let them go to sleep. It ain't their way. They'll teach you. If you don't, then you'll be wore out. Then what, you can't just cut your home off the next day. You got two or three other kids running around. You know what's going to happen then, especially if you homeschool. You're in a big way in trouble. Now you're physically tired. You're going to skip your Bible reading. I'm just getting practical. And you're going to have a bad day because we don't follow the basic principles of this book. Got to stick with it. Got to stick with it. It does work. I used to think it didn't work, but it does. It does work. Talking about the Father's commandment. And I ain't got the time. You can write this down, Hosea chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. God likens, tells Hosea he's going to betroth even unto in righteousness and faith. It goes through about, so first of all, sir, you must love God supremely. Matthew 22, 37 tells us, with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. God has to be first, sir. You're the lamp. You're that commandment. You're the lamp. Husband, and second of all, you must love that woman. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself. So Ephesians 5, 25. So I'm talking about the commandments, the dad, that's the lamp. He's the physical lamp. What has to be a part of you is loving that woman supremely. Put God first and then her. You must dwell with her according to knowledge. Number three, 1 Peter 3, 7. This is where you must communicate. And we men don't like to do that. It's more than, hey, how you doing? When we come home from work, you roll into the house. You've been gone all day running wide open. And that woman's been there. You got babies in the house. She ain't spoke to no adults. Been little ones all day. So they just want a few minutes to talk to you. Got to be more. You know, if you're like me, I know what we all do. You go through the house. She's talking. Yeah, huh? Yes, baby. Okay, okay. What did I just say? You don't have a clue what she just said. You just said what it took to get by, to appease her, but you're not communicating. That's not communication. It's just not. Amen, amen, amen. You have got to dwell with her according to knowledge. You want to be the man? You want to be the head of the home? Then bless God. It rolls downhill. You're supposed to explain to her what's going on and why we're doing what we're doing. You're supposed to be yoked together. She ought to know. Communication's number one. It's got to be more than a grunt. For most men, that's all the further it goes. It's just the truth. Sir, you must lead with training and correction. We know that Genesis 18, verse 17 through 19, God says, for I know him, talking about Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. That's what God wants. You say, what about training? Proverbs 22, 6, train up a child. Y'all know this. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Proverbs 22, 15. 2011, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. The rod and proof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. It's a guarantee. So, sir, you're the lamp. You're that physical lamp this morning. And God lives in both you and that woman, and it, which produces that combination, that lamp with that oil, and then she's that light when it's lit and it can burn bright for the Lord Jesus Christ. What about the law of thy mother? It said in Proverbs 6:23, and the law is light. And we read earlier where it says, forsake not the law of thy mother. So in your home, ma'am, you're a law. You have a law. I know we got God's law, but I'm going to get practical here. You know, well, you got to have a law. We'll get to that in a minute. You must love that man. We know that, Titus 2, 4. You must submit to that man, Ephesians 5. You must obey him, Titus 2. You must reverence him, Ephesians 5. You see what reverence means? Having a deep respect for someone. What's wrong with that? Your children are going to see that. See, it's a tough thing to be in a position of, it's really not. We preach that. But God designed this thing. If you're in your proper place and you're in love with God, submission's not a big deal. It's a love problem. It's always a love affair. You're either, whatever you love the most is who you're going to yield to. And so in a home, if the woman's, you know, in love with something that's going on more so that day than something, it's going to cause problems. Same with the man. So the key to this whole thing is just loving the Lord thy God. That's why I started that with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. The Lord said it for a reason. Because that's the great motivator to be obedient. Which is where your faith comes in. So some of the things hoped for, the other things not seen. A lot of this stuff in your home you can't figure out, can't see. You got to trust God. The only way you're going to trust the Lord is if you love him first, always, till the day you die. And it makes it a whole lot easier for the man and woman to be able to do what they're supposed to do if we love God. So mama, you're the light. You're in order, to have order in the home, it must start with you before the children. If them kids don't see you where you're supposed to be, they're not going to enjoy obeying you. You're an extension of daddy's arm. Y'all are one before God. 1 Peter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, "For at this manner in old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord." Now you read that verse to the women liber like Hillary Clinton, look out. Her hair's going to get on fire. What hair she has, you know what I'm saying? And them people, man. I got trouble in the air. When I was in the military, I was a staff sergeant. Donna Shalala, I think her name was Donna Shalala. She was a lesbian. She came to Tyndall Air Force Base, and we had to give her a ride, one of our F-15s. God knows I despise that. I begged God to not let her show up. I'd gotten saved, come back from Iceland, so I was sawed off shotgun. Every piece of paperwork I got, an LOR, and you know, a letter of reprimand or a letter of counseling, an LOC, was because of, after I got saved, I couldn't get my mouth under control. I thought it, I said it. And so I came into work early one morning. I was in uniform. I came by. Sitting in the office was a senior master sergeant. Master sergeant, and I ain't going to say their names, but I can tell you who all they were. And there was a tech sergeant who was my immediate supervisor. I come walking by, and they could not remember, I don't know why, the name of that woman. So as I came by, they said, "Hey, Staff Sergeant Unger, you remember the name of that Air Force, Secretary of Air Force?" I said, "Sure. It's that lesbian dyke, Donna Shalala." Out my mouth it came. And I went walking on past, and all of a sudden, the senior master sergeant said, "Sergeant Unger, come on back here and close the door." Well, I knew what was coming. And I got reprimanded and said, "Don't say that again. We understand, but we can't talk like that. She's the Secretary of the Air Force." "Yes, sir." And out I had to go. So I can't stand that stuff. It's ungodly. Hell, anyhow, God bless you. Amen. You know, so mama, you've got to have a law. And you say, like, what? Well, my wife had some rules. Tells you in Ephesians 6:20. Here's some of the ones my wife had when our kids were little. She had them printed off, put on a fridge, laminated. This is just ours. You got to get your own. What is conducive for your home? Some of them are going to be the same. Talk softly. We don't want you raising your voice in our house. No running in the house. My wife used to hate, "Keep your hands off the walls." You got to run down the hall and put grease and oil all over the walls. You got to clean everything up. That's mom's home. Pick up after yourself. No whining. I whipped my kids for whining, especially the boys. Amen, I'm telling you. No lying, it's an automatic corporal correction. You lie, you're paying the price. You're paying big time. No facial contortions. You kids are masters at obeying. You know, you'll get told to do something, you're like, "Yes, ma'am." You're only obeying because you don't want to get hammered. You don't want to lose a privilege or get spanked or whatever. No, God wants you to obey right away with a good attitude. He wants your heart right. We didn't allow any facial contortions. I busted them for it. I mean, we did. We ate them up like a cancer. You need to obey right away with a good attitude. It can be done. It's a lot of work. But you better strive for that. Ask first. Stay within earshot. My wife would whip them if they got out of earshot and they didn't have prior permission. Because we had a big family and they were little. And folks, you know how quick folks can get into trouble, get hurt, this, that, and the other. That's just some simple rules my wife had. She had a law in the house, and I backed it up 100%. Every mama in here needs to get it. And again, something we did, we would sit down together behind closed doors and get on the same page. You say, you don't know how easy it is to get off page. And see, the kids will work you against one another. They're masters at it. So my wife, we would sit down. And I would tell her, "Babe, what do you see in me that I need to fix?" "Yes. Where am I lacking with the children? What's going on? Where am I lacking with you?" She would tell me. I'd jot that stuff down. I'd do the same to her. That helps you stay on the same page. So when I'm gone, she knows what's going on. When she's gone, I'm there. There's no playing this thing. We march to the same tune. It's got to be that way. If you don't, it's going to cause you problems. And the kids don't have to be taught. They'll do it automatically because they're devils. A man is born into troubles, the sparks fly upward. A man in his best state is altogether vain. That nursery is full of snakes, copperheads, adders, rattlesnakes. You may think they're cute, they're liars. They're natural-born, card-carrying liars. Amen. Yours, mine, and the grandkids. God help you, grandparents, that go soft and let them act. You'll let them burn the White House down. Whip them. If it was wrong when I was young, bless God, it's double wrong now, Grandma. My mom's already doing it. She come out and said, no, not in this house. You whip me for all that stuff. They ain't getting away with that, little brats. Thinking, brats, man, whip them. You're laughing, but it's true. I refuse. And she, thank God she ain't done it yet. We're not doing that. I'm not having my grandkids. I don't want to raise my grandkids. I want to enjoy my grandkids. You understand? And I get their situations, but I don't want that on purpose. You must be an extension. Proverbs 29:15 says, a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And we know that. You got to know where they're at. You got to know what's going on. Okay? Talking about the lamp, that law is that mama's law. She's that light. And of course, last of all, the oil in that lamp's a type of the Holy Ghost of God. And listen, you that tender, that sweet, tenderly and softly, you know, that song we sing, the Lord wants to keep us pliable and tender so he can constantly speak to us and not have to holler at us and make us an object lesson. Screw that thing to the floor. Anyhow, Daddy and Mama, you're both a vehicle for God, the Holy Ghost, 24/7. And that's what's going to keep the oil burning. And it's very, very important. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. The Holy Ghost of God lives inside of us. And he wants moms and dads to stay tender-hearted. Guess God catch you quick. And so you'll know you're wayward. That's what the devil, he's a master at getting into our homes through all kinds of things. And a lot of it's just these physical devices. And we let him in, amen. And I know we got that. We're in the information age and the day of technology, and we can't get away from it. I understand all that, and I've got a cell phone. I get it. And they're a great tool. I understand that. But I am telling you, they'll whip the best of us. They will. Them cell phones, the first thing you'll do when you get up is check your cell phone. Used to be the first thing we did when we got up was go to the bathroom. But we'll stay that now to check the phones. That's how much of a monster that technology has become. And the kids, they can go to Africa. Someone was talking about a missionary. You can be in Zimbabwe with a touch of a button. You ain't got to go nowhere. You can sit in your bedroom and go anywhere you want, and there's nothing stopping it. And I'm going to tell you something. You get to looking at stuff you're not supposed to look at. It always starts small. That's why these advertisements, I'm getting off beaten path. That's why when you drive to Terre Haute, you see all these little advertisements on the side of the road to get you to look. They're trying to sell something. They're trying to get your mind to think and get the wheels turning. So that appetite, they can whip that appetite. If it's something, someone that likes this or that, they see enough people go by, they'll snatch somebody, get you to come spend some money. That's why they use women to advertise refrigerators or cars or anything else. They'll put them up there and they won't have enough clothes on to make a shotgun wad for a 410. And you wonder why our country's a train wreck. You know, you go to Walmart, you guys know that the front counters are terrible. The stuff that our country allows to go on, it's unbelievable. It's pornographic. It's ungodly. When I was a kid, you had to go back in the dark corner and you weren't allowed back there. Now it's at the Walmart checkout. And it's quiet, amen. That stuff's eating our country alive. All these images and stuff that people see. Movies, God Almighty. Cell phones, movies, the entertainment. We're literally burning our lives out to expensive entertainment. And I'm for having a good time, but if you can't have a good time clean, then don't have any time at all. It's going to destroy your family. 2 Timothy 1:14 says, 2 Timothy 1:14, the Bible says, I'm in 1 Timothy, that's a good one too, but 2 Timothy 1:14, that good thing which was committed unto thee, talking to young Timothy here, preacher man, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. See, we're bought with a price. You guys know this. And one of the things I was kind of mentioning that I'm seeing going on, we don't travel a lot. We get to travel some. And, And it seems like everywhere you go, what's coming up with the where we're at is there's this thing going around where, you know, when you get saved, God said, you know, over in Romans, I think it's Romans chapter 8, Paul talks about if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. Well, that's true. When you get saved, the Lord takes up residence inside of us forever till we get a new body to go with this. You know, you're two-thirds saved this morning. You got a spirit that got quickened, Ephesians 2:1, and you have to quicken your dead trespasses and sins. And then when you got, the moment you got saved, He quickened your spirit. And it goes on to say that He sealed your soul to the day of redemption. You're part of His bone, of His body, and of His flesh over in Ephesians. You're in Christ. Nobody can touch that, not even yourself, according to John 10. You know, you're in the Father's hand, in Jesus Christ's hand, the Father's hand. No man's able to pluck them out of my hand. So we know we're saved forever. You can't do nothing. Thank God. It's eternal security. But that one third, you're made up of three parts, body, soul, and spirit. We know that. We read it in Genesis 2. He made man of the dust of the ground, physical body. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. There's the spirit. And man became what? A living soul. There's the third part. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, along there, I'm going to mess it up. And I pray God, he talks about your whole body, soul, and spirit be preserved blameless in the coming of the Lord. So we're made up of three parts in the image of God. And so when you get born again, young person, God quickens your spirit. It's made alive. He seals your soul. But that physical, that tabernacle you live in, that physical flesh that hurts right now, it's not saved. That's the part we have to crucify, Paul said, to die daily. And based on your study of that book, your consecration, your separation, your meditation, the time you spend in that book memorizing it, or time in prayer, all those things work together to help you reckon the old man dead unto sin. Paul said what? I think it's chapter 2. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says what? God forbid. So here's what I'm getting at. There's a thing going across our country. It seems like to me, unless I'm going crazy, they're trying to separate that thing where you can be your best here today, which you should be. But you should be your best every day. Not just Sunday. I get the saying, it's your Sunday best. But when you get saved, you become a soldier of Jesus Christ. 100% locked up. You're signed up forever. And how much of a soldier you are is how much submission you are into that book, which allows God to use you more and more and grow you and call you and do things with you. And so there's this thing where we act like we can do one thing on Monday, but not on Sunday. God ain't in this building. He's in us. And I know it says that we're to behave ourselves in 1 Timothy 3:15 and 16. You're supposed to know how to behave. You understand what I'm saying? You say that's elementary. No, they're teaching today. You can just do whatever you want. Our crowd is. Well, man looketh on the outward appearance and God looketh on the heart. No kidding, dummy. I'm not God. I can't see inside your heart. But what I see on the outside, if you name the name of Christ, you're showing me exactly what you think of God. How you carry yourself, your attitude, what you think about, where your feet take you. Everything about you, you're telling me exactly what you are at that moment for God. That's that book. You can't separate it. You say, what in the world? Well, our crowd's slipping, man. Our crowd's slipping big time. I'm not going with them. I ain't getting on that train. I'll blow the tracks up. I'll derail the whole thing. Amen. Well, when you work with young people and see all this stuff, so we're talking about the lamp this morning. Daddy, you're that commandment. You should have a commandment in your home. It's your job, sir, to teach that book to your family. It's what it says in 1 Corinthians. It's what it says. It tells that wife to let her ask him at home. It's our job to instruct that lady to sit down and have Bible study and learn that book. What Brother Jerry does here is icing on the cake. And the reason why pastors have to constantly deal with 50,000 stupid things is because, Daddy, you've let the commandment go. You expect Brother Jerry to do everything for you all the time spiritually. That's not Bible. The family came before the church. That daddy was the first one built. That man God made, He made him a husband. Then he had kids in the third and fourth chapter. So the home came before the church. So what a church is supposed to do is just icing on the cake what our homes are already supposed to be doing. So Dad, you're a commandment. You're that lamp. Mama, you're that law. If a woman's got a law, she's not lazy. She's studious. She's at Proverbs 31. There's a lot of saved women. There's not as many virtuous women as there are saved women. That virtue you're going to earn, it's not free. It's going to cost you something. Sleepless nights. Amen. You'll learn to live tired. But it's worth it. It's worth it for them babies God gave you. That heritage that God gave you. They're His kids anyhow. He loaned them to us. Let them be born into our family so we can bring glory to God. And it's worth doing right, not staying with it and don't lay down. I'm guilty, man. It's easy to preach this stuff. I can tell you, and I'm almost done. What time is that clock right back? It's almost noon. Burn the beans. Who gives a rip? No, I'm kidding. I can sit here and tell you today, you guys have known us for what, 20? I went on deputation in 2001, so it's been a long haul. And then I was raised here, right off of Borders Ridge. So I lived here from the time I was going to the seventh grade. Before that was Sullivan. And my oldest three children, I'm fixing to tell them myself, just be real with you, because that's where it's really at. Matthew, Mark, and Kelsey, 27, 24, and 23. Did I get them right? Okay. When we were on deputation, and those three, there's a four-year gap after Kelsey. I've got 4 years before John came along. And then they're 18 months apart or thereabouts, boom, 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 the last four. I can bring them in here, and it wouldn't take you long. You could stand these here, and thank God they're all saved. They're all doing works for the Lord. I'm thankful for all that. But I'm striving for excellence. I'm not settling for second class. My older three got things in them that are vacant and missing in the younger three. One, having a big family, the very thing that I got told all my life, do not back off. You're going to get tired. You're going to get down the road. It's going to become mundane. The oil's going to go dry. You're going to start burning bearings up. And you're going to cause problems in your latter children. Guess what? I can tell you that right now. I can't tell you what it takes. You got to stay right with God day in and day out. You've got to keep that thing fresh and real. I mean, there's things them little ones had, memorizing 400 and 500 verses. We were wide open for those young three children. And as we got more and more, you start expecting the younger ones to help with the older ones. Am I telling it right, Mama? If we could go back, so I'm just telling you. And I've got a good home. I thank all the Lord. But I'm telling you, if you want them to be arrows in the hand of a mighty man, you know, the children of the youth, you better stay with it. That lamp, that law, that light. The Holy Ghost of God working in you, the hope Jesus Christ called the hope of glory. So the home's the most important institution on planet Earth. I don't care what the president says. He's an idiot. Tell him I said so. Okay, never mind. He'll forget what you told him anyhow. It's an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment to Britain and all the rest of the countries to hear that idiot. Anyhow, let Trump slap him in his face and knock him out. But anyhow, oh my goodness. Anyhow, whatever. It's just the country hates God. They hate church. They hate the Bible. They hate what y'all are doing. And it's trickling down to small towns. It's no longer just in the cities. Small towns are being affected by this trash they're preaching and putting out. And if you think they're going to stop, they're not. They're going to keep coming and keep coming and keep coming until they get everything they want. And what they're after, church, is your home. So don't back off. Don't give in. Amen. Keep things right. Keep it soft. Keep it right. Be quick to get right with God. Get over your pride. We all make mistakes. Welcome to the club. Bless God. Don't lay down and quit. Can't quit. What, you going to quit? Go back to the bars? Is that what we're going to do? Quit coming to church and do what? You think God's going to honor that? You show me one family. I can give you two missionary families right now that you couldn't even recognize their kids. People that we personally know, they're out of the ministry, out of church, gone. One of them has eight kids. Missionary to Africa. They got sideways with God. The husband and wife are divorced today. The kids are, you couldn't even recognize them. I'm talking about good families. I could give you lists of people like that. Is that what we're going to do? You've got them here, I'm sure, that used to be here and they're gone. Well, guess what? Do what you can, but the ones you got, focus on them and keep pressing forward. Keep taking ground. Don't give up and quit. Well, what's the point? You know, so-and-so quit. Oh, well, don't you quit. It ain't in me to quit. I refuse to quit and retreat. Care what the brethren do, man. I can't go into it. We've had unbelievable, Some of the folks I know down south, supposed to be the Bible Belt, right? Y'all have heard that? It's what I think of the Bible Belt. I'm not impressed! Impress me with what you believe. Well, you'll impress me by seeing how you are on Monday morning at 6 o'clock in the morning or Tuesday afternoon. It's insane what's down south. It's unbelievable what's going on. They're letting the kids touch each other, run around, carry on. All kinds of trash going on now. I thought we weren't supposed to touch a woman, according to 1 Corinthians 17, you're married. That's what it says. It's like putting gas on a fire. Everything just going on. People laying down and quitting. Divorce is rampant. Preachers into all kinds of trash. Anyhow, I got to stop. I know preachers. It's weird to me how guys can get up in years in the Lord and they're not accountable anymore because of who they are. What is that? It's detrimental, man. I thank God for your preacher. Thank God for the legacy. The heritage is the right Bible word that he has. Amen. When did this church get started? What was it? Anybody know offhand? He started in the garage. 73. So 83, 93, 2030, 40, coming up on 50 years, just shy of 47 years, somewhere along in there. Is that about right? I'm going to tell y'all, if you're going to keep what that old man of God started in a garage, it's going to be on purpose. Otherwise, you'll lose everything, even here. It'll slip away from you faster than you can blink, like a rushing river. It's going to take you up, suck you up, and drag you down the road. Can't do it. Y'all can't do it. It's a blessing y'all got Brother Reiser down the road. I call him that long, big old beard he's got. It's hilarious. And he just came down. I don't know if you know, we're best buds. We talk to each other once a week. But he just came down and did Mark's bathroom. My sons, they finished their little, they made a little, we, me and him built it. There's a lot of mistakes in it, but we built a little barn house for my son that had the baby, and Brother Reiser did the bathroom, all the tile work and everything. He's a blessing, and the Lord's blessing him. It's going to be on purpose. It's going to be on purpose. Else we're going to lose and slip. So the lantern, I hope it was a help to you. Remind us daddies and mamas how important it is. Because if you're not careful, you get older in the Lord, and what's going to happen, it's going to start to where it just finally, boom, it's gone. It's out. Well, that's how it ought to be. It ought to be tough to blow it out. I don't know what it's... I hope that you'll realize, and I don't know how old these young ladies are, teenagers, 16, 17? No? How old are you, young lady? Wow, I missed that. Well, amen. Take your time, young lady. You got your whole life in front of you. But I mean, listen, young guys, how many of y'all are here from this church? Any of you raised in this church? For the most part, long time? How old are you, son? When did you get saved? How about it? Your mom... So you've been raised as in a Christian home your whole life for the most part. So what you going to do with God? I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. You're going to do right. What's your first name? Jonathan. It's a good Bible name. Don't follow the dictates of this world. You get in that book, become an individual for Jesus Christ, and don't look back. It's worth it, man. I dealt with thousands of young boys that had exactly what you had that no longer give a rip about God. It's worth it, though, son. Clean cut, looks like a man, sits like a man. I love it. I live for it. I live for it, amen. You young ladies, man, stay clean. Don't you let them boys get near you. Have your daddy break the neck, amen. Bless God. That day will come. That day will come. I'm just rambling. I got to shut up. That day will come. Just wait on God, and you'll be able to kick your heels up. I hate to even use an example like Dorothy did in that stupid show. You know, you wait on God to stay clean and get married and get to touch a man for the first time sight of the Lord. There's nothing like that stuff. Anyhow, I'm through. Come on, preacher. Hope it was a blessing. Come on, sir.